Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. I want to speak on seven secrets of a lasting love. Seven secrets of a lasting love. And a lot of this has to do with husband-wife relationship. And some of you say, well, that doesn't apply to me, but it may apply to your children, your grandchildren, or somebody you can help. But most of these principles that we're going to deal with work in just about any situation, and especially in the relationship of husband-wife and in our homes and in our marriages. The great miracle is not love at first sight. And that's okay, but it's love after a long, long look. Amen? That's the great miracle, that you can continue to love. I've had a good look at my wife from the beginning, and I continue to love her with all of my heart. After all of these years, 60 years. But there are ways to keep honey in the honeymoon. There are ways to keep love like it ought to be, a lasting love. And we need to do that. You don't want to be like the guy that got the videotape of his wedding, and he kept running it backwards. And somebody said, why in the world do you do that? He said, because I wanted to remember when I walked out of the church as a free man. But that's pretty bad, isn't it? But how to keep that love boat afloat is something that is a biblical challenge and something that is in the Word of God. Look at 1 Peter 3, and let's read through these verses, and we'll come back and comment on them. Verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, you ladies are glad that's there. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. God gives these instructions, and he gives the example here in these verses of Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham and Sarah had a lot of challenges. Every marriage has challenges. Do I hear an amen? You're scared to say amen, guys. But Abraham and Sarah had their own challenges. Carolyn and I have had our own challenges over those years. And family pressure, Abraham and Sarah were on the move. They were nomads, a lot of unfulfilled dreams for a while, all of these things. Abraham was looking for a city. And then there came that Hagar affair that took place, which was a bad situation. And there was a son, there was a woman, and this was not his true wife in the Bible sense of the word. And they had problems with children and rough times. But we have to realize it turned out okay, because they were there serving the Lord. We have some challenges in our lives. A lot of times our children are challenged, aren't they? Somebody said from the time a child is 12 to 19, parents age 20 years. And if you had children, you probably can relate to that. Abraham lied about Sarah, and then they had the problem of older age, all of those things. I asked Carolyn a while back, I said, "Will you love me when I'm old and wrinkled?" She said, "Of course I do." And so you'll have to stop and think about that. But they made it through passionate youth, and they made it through middle age and all of those. They say that youth looks forward, old age looks backward, and middle age looks worried. That's because they still have children at home. But they made it through all of that to stay together. How did they do that? The grace of God, the mercy of God, God's love. There are some secrets of a lasting love. It is not that Mr. Perfect marries Mrs. Perfect. Neither Carolyn nor I are perfect. And by the way, if you married, if your wife was perfect, she wouldn't have married you, probably, or vice versa. Because that's not the issue at all. But we can make it wonderful. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it can be wonderful. So the first thing we see is we need to fortify the faith. Look at verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5. "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." They trusted in God. That was where they were fortifying their faith. They believed what God said about it. It may not be something that is rational to us, but if God says it, it's right. If God put it in His Word, it cannot be wrong. And we will not be wrong by going by it. In verse 7, he says in that verse that, "Likewise, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life." And notice those words, heirs together of the grace of life. And so husbands and wives have to trust in the Lord. A threefold cord is not easily broken. I was at a wedding Saturday, and they did a threefold cord up here and plaited that thing together during the wedding. The wedding was a beautiful Christian wedding, and I enjoyed watching them put that together. It wasn't just the two, it was three. It's the bride, the groom, and God Almighty. And that's what brings it together, a man, a woman, and God, and it should be that way. Carolyn knows, as I said this morning, that I love her with all my heart, but she knows I love God first and foremost. But again, I remind you that that'll help you love other people like you ought to love other people, and that's the way it should be. Now, verse 7, he says, we are heirs together. You see that there in verse 7. We're heirs together. We are joint heirs. Joint heirs together. We share and share alike. We are joint heirs together. There is no, and some people will not understand, but it's a fact of the Word of God, there is no male superiority and no female inferiority when it comes to trusting in God. He says that we are joint heirs, joint heirs. Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. That is our spiritual oneness in Christ. It's not in all the relations, but he's talking about that spiritual oneness that we have in Christ. And so the secret of our home is obviously in God Himself. The secret in any relationships we have is God Himself. Now we need to remember the roles. In verse 1, he talks about the role of the wife. "You wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." The best way for a woman to win her husband to the Lord is not to nag him all the time and be on his case all the time, but to live a godly Christian life and do all that you can as in the role of a wife. And then the role of a husband in verse 7. Husbands and wives are, according to the Bible, spiritually equal, but they are not the same. And that's why God created Adam and Eve, amen? And we don't need the gender-changing junk that's going on. Ask me how I really feel about it. But we don't need that junk. God ordained it that way. And that is the devil's trick, to make them alike in order to make them equal. God did not make us alike in order to make us equal. They are not alike. So man has sort of a harder exterior. The wife is more gentle and fragile. I've met a few exceptions, but their wife is, generally speaking, more gentle and fragile because she is the weaker vessel. Notice it does not say she is the inferior vessel, just the weaker vessel. Steel is stronger than gold and is stronger than porcelain. But you can drive a spike with a sledgehammer, but you can't drink tea out of the sledgehammer. You can out of a porcelain teacup. And by the way, silk is more fragile than denim, but silk is a whole lot more valuable. And so it is with ladies, with women. God gave the roles: husband, head of the home; woman, in subjection to the husband. That does not mean you're inferior. That does not mean there's inferiority. Carolyn knows that she's not inferior in our relationship. She told me once, she said, "I don't want to be equal with you, and I'm not coming down to your level." So she really didn't say that, but she might have thought it. Submission is one equal volunteering. They're placing that himself or herself under another equal, voluntarily doing it because that's God's will. So God can be glorified. We're never more like the devil than when we're in rebellion. That's how his all started, didn't it? When we're in rebellion, we're never more like the devil than then. Never more like God than when we're in submission. Submission to God, submission to each other, submission in the right relationship. The husband is the head of the home, not the big-time BOSS boss. Jesus is the head of this church, and Jesus never forces you to do anything. He tells you what his will is, what he wants you to do, and it's up to you to make up your mind to do it. And Jesus leads as a servant of love. And that's the way a man has to lead in his home. Most women don't mind being in submission to a man who loves her and treats her right and would die for her and shows it. She doesn't mind being in subjection to a man like that that loves her. The headship for the husband does not mean special privilege. It means responsibility. That's the word we're looking for, responsibility. The shepherd, responsible for the sheep. The parent, responsible for the child. The husband, responsible for the home. By the way, marriage is not a contract, it's a covenant. If you have a contract, you can break it. If you have a contract, there's some do's and don'ts, and if you don't do them, you're in great trouble. And so that's not what it is. It's not a contract, it's a covenant. Two people mutually entering marriage together in the Lord. And so if you have marriage as a contract, you have ways out of it and you have rights within it. So marriage as a covenant is a responsibility. So we have to remember our roles. Thirdly, we need to cultivate contentment. Verse 7, going back to it again, this portion of it, as being heirs together of the grace of God. Abraham was wealthy, but he didn't put his wealth first. He was a very wealthy man. He was willing to leave the comfort of his wealth, of his homeland, of all of that, to leave his family and friends behind and dwell in a tent because that was what God wanted, and he was satisfied in his life with what God wanted. Young people, let me encourage you to learn this. If you don't learn anything else I say tonight, hear this. You can do without anything except God and the necessities of life. You can do without anything except God and the necessities of life. Verse 3 sometimes is misinterpreted. Look at it. who's adorning, ladies, it let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. Now, a lot of people say that means, ladies, you're not to fix your hair. That's not what it means. And some say it means, ladies, you're not to wear gold. And so they won't wear gold ring. They won't wear that. Well, look at the next part of that verse. Or putting on of apparel. So if wearing those things is wrong, wearing clothes is wrong. So go join a nudist camp. But at any rate, a lot of times they misinterpret that. Often it is. But I think Sarah probably was a beautiful woman even in her 80s. But what made her beautiful? I think what the Bible says, an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. That is a beautiful ornament for anybody to wear, and especially in that relationship for a woman. And I know the first time I saw Carolyn, I thought she was a beautiful person. But I can tell you this, she's far more beautiful to me today than she was 60 years ago. Well, a little over 60 years ago, because I dated her a little while. She was hard to get, let me tell you. She played it to the hilt. But that's all right. It turned out okay. I remember the first time I saw her. Honest to God, I said to a guy sitting across from me, I said, I'm going to marry her. He said, you can't even get a date with her. Nobody can get a date with her. You going to marry? I said, you watch me. I'm going to marry her. And so there's proof right back there sitting on that pew. But we have to take care, I think, of things, and I think it's good for a woman to take care of her personal grooming. But the real enhancement is the inner person. It's not all this outward stuff. It's what's in the heart. It's your relationship with God. It's where you are as you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. A meek and quiet spirit, verse 4 says. That's a good thing. Meek doesn't mean weak, by the way. Meek does not mean weak. It means you're under God's control. That's what it means. And that was used really of soldiers in the Roman army. They used that word meekness, and they were not talking about weakness and mousiness, but they were talking about men that were under control. And they referred to these Roman soldiers as meek men, a quiet spirit, serenity, contentment. When we first got married, we did without a lot. We both had really good jobs, good paying jobs here in Dallas-Fort Worth area. But we knew that God wanted us in full-time service. And so we went to Virginia and went to work for a church finally after a while. It's a long story. I thought I was going to work, and he was thinking I was going to come up and volunteer my time. Always be sure that you talk to the pastor about what the real income is going to be, if any. But we had no money on our honeymoon. We had none of those kind of things. And the first job that I had at that church, and when I bought her a ring, I had to go down to my old baseball player's jewelry store and buy it on time and pay it out. I think I got it paid out now. But anyway, had to pay it out. And so, you know, we were just as happy then as we are today, because we had the Lord, and we were pursuing what God wanted us to do. A wise man said this, whatever state you're in, be content. Someone else said, to whom little is not enough, nothing is enough. Isn't that true? To whom little is not enough, nothing is enough. And then some say, till debt do us part. Shouldn't be that way. You ought to have plastic surgery, men and women. And take that credit card and shred it. I only use one for necessary records, and the rest of them get rid of, because they'll eat you alive. And then banish bitterness, verses 8 through 10. Banish bitterness. Finally, be ye all of one mind, verse 8, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren. As I said earlier, this works in all relationships. Love his brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. He's telling us how to do it. He's saying it should be the better half, not the bitter half. In some marriages I've seen and been involved with in counseling, it's been the bitter half. All homes, every home has the attacks of the devil. And every relationship has those. Now, we have earthquakes that shake us. We have woodpeckers always beating on the house. We have termites, and they're the most subtle of all, the most dangerous. They're silently eating away in marriages and relationships, and bitterness is there, little things that are there. Unforgiveness sometimes. Someone has said there are three levels of life. Three. The devilish, and that is he gives evil for good. That's one level. The human level, we give good for good. Sometimes we get even evil for evil. But to the child of God, it should always be good for evil. That's what verses 9 and 10 are saying. We should give good even for evil. And 1 Peter, look at 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23. Just look back there for a moment. And he says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's to God. Jesus didn't go around fighting and fussing with people all the time. He didn't do that. And so we need to learn there's absolutely in our marriages or our relationships no problem that is too big to solve. God can solve it. The problem is there's just people who are too small to solve them. God will solve them if we'll let him. You know, sometimes a couple gets bitterness, and maybe before they go to bed at night or something, you know, if you get a splinter, like somebody got a splinter in their finger, and they said, I'll just leave it alone. I'm not going to take a pen or a needle and get that splinter out of there. And so they wake up the next morning with a big old throbbing finger because they didn't get the splinter out. Well, God says we're not supposed to go to bed mad at each other. And we're to get rid of that. Wake up. We don't want to wake up bitter the next morning and be infected in our souls. Don't go to bed angry. Back to back. Don't let the sun, Bible says, go down on your wrath. That's quite a challenge, but it works. Carolyn and I try to practice that. Sometimes we had to stay up three nights in a row to get it done. But we nevertheless try to practice that. Just get rid of bitterness. Amen. Number 5, continued communication. Verses 8 through 10 is talking about communication, I believe, in what he's saying. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing. That's your mouth, that's talking. But contrarywise, blessing. That's coming from the mouth too, knowing that you're therein so called to call that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and say, see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil in his lips, that they speak no guile. That's talking about conversation, speaking. He's speaking of communication right here. Abraham and Sarah were different, and yet all of us are different. We all have different temperament profiles, don't we? Everybody here has a different dominant profile. Mine is melancholy, choleric, and that's bad. That's a bad temperament to have. And I always want everything perfect. That and the Holy Spirit, I used to, in my office, I would not leave my office in my first pastorate until I had every clip in place, every pencil in place, everything in place, every book put up, every file filed, everything done. I got over that, let me tell you. But I read a book called The Spirit-Filled Life. And Tim LaHaye, we had Tim LaHaye at our church in Indiana one time, and it's very sobering to think about the spirit-controlled temperament in life. But the grace of God is what allows us to stay together and to enjoy one another. You know, I think it's one of God's jokes that opposites attract. Opposites attract. That's so true. I see it. I've seen it all the time. What attracts before marriage, though, sometimes what attracts before marriage is something that is hard to cope with after marriage. It looks good at the beginning of it, but later on it can be a problem. And so God put Carol and I together. We're different, but with God's help, we've managed to have a wonderful marriage for all of these years. Counselors say that 80% of the problems in marriages and relationships come from a lack of communication. A lack of communication. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. All of it has to do with that. It's called intimacy. It's the secret of a lasting love. And let me tell you, husbands are the worst about that. Women read magazines. 7 ways to be more intimate with your husband. And men read magazines. 7 ways to get better gas mileage. 7 ways to improve your golf swing. All of those are the things we get preeminence to. Men don't dwell with them according to knowledge sometimes. We need to do that. A man said now to his wife, now before football season starts, is there anything you'd like to say? And that's about the way it is. Then you need to have a regular date night. I know that seems sort of, you know, to the old timers, that's a date night. But there are 4 kinds of dates that you need to make. One is a regular date with God. Amen. You need a regular date with God every day and get along with God. And then you have a date with your kids. Don't neglect your kids. Don't give them up on the altar of money and working yourself to death just to give them things that they really don't need and won't appreciate later on. Don't do that. And have a date with them by themselves. Keep grandma and grandpa away from them during that time. And give them your utmost attention. And then have a date with yourself. A time for you just to get alone by yourself with God and have something fulfilling in that. And then a date with your spouse. The thing is, it needs to be regular, maybe not lots of time every time, but regular time, not forgetting it, to spend some time together, the two of you together. Then very quickly, number six, Roman numeral 6, refresh your romance. Keep the love life burning. Verse 7 in the text, likewise your husbands dwell with them according to knowledge. Look at that word dwell there. Dwell can be translated by some and is live together with them. Dwell with them. In fact, today, it may even go as far as suggesting sharing the same bed. Here, it, I believe, does mean that and lends itself to that. And the physical part of marriage is a very big part of marriage. Now, I know there are a lot of things that enter into that. But the physical part of marriage is important. Keep the hugs going. Amen? Come on, men. Say amen. I saw a woman punch your husband just then. Listen, man, if you're going to flirt with somebody, flirt with your wife. Amen? Your waitress is not your sweetheart. And your waitress is not your honey. Your wife is your sweetheart. And your wife is your honey. I get sort of irritated when I'm out eating with somebody and they take on that role. Then number 7, practice prayer. The latter part of that verse, verse 7, says that your prayers be not hindered. Prayer is so important. Pray for the children. Amen. Pray for the grandchildren. Takes you a while. Pray for them. I look back on the life that God has given Carolyn and me after all these years. All these years of preaching, being in the ministry, and all of that. And it would be the height of egotism for me or her to take credit for it. And I want to tell you, God has answered prayers, and God gets all the glory for it. It's because of a prayer life, and God answers prayer. Most men don't like to pray with women, but I want to tell you, men, one of the best things you can do is pray with your wife. Then you know her heartbeat when you hear her pray, and when you pray, she knows your heartbeat. These are just seven biblical suggestions, and God wants our homes to be strong. Too many of our homes are in shambles. Too many of our people who come to church fake it. Everybody thinks everything's fine in their family and in their home. It really isn't. And I'm telling you, there's always, let me say it very strong, there's always room for improvement. Always room for improvement. Always a fresh start with Almighty God. God wants everybody to have two homes, or three different homes, a family home and a church home, and thank God, a heavenly home. Now, do you have a heavenly home? Are you sure? Do you know? If not, you can know tonight. You know that. It's not hard. It's not difficult. You don't have to go through catechism, do any of those things. You just have to say yes to Jesus who died for you. He paid your sin debt, and if you'll come to Him, He will save you by His grace. You can know that you're going to heaven. If there's one thing in this world I want to know, above all things and everything, is I'm going to heaven. And I know it through the Word of God and through what God has said. Jesus is the key to all three of these things. A family home, a church home, a heavenly home, all centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. If you're here while our heads are bowed, if you're here and you're not sure you're going to heaven when you die, and since you don't know when you're going to die, you need to be sure, because you could die tonight. Nobody knows. But why don't you come and trust Christ as your Savior? And then if you think there might be some improvement in any of your relationships, come and talk to God about it, and especially even in your homes. Don't think everybody's going to make light of you if you take your wife's hand, come down to this altar and pray with her. All of us know there's probably room for improvement. And then, my friend, if you want to go to heaven, just trust Christ and then stand on His Word and have the courage to take a stand and make it public to let people know. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed. Father, as we come to You in prayer, we thank You for the word love. And we love You because You first loved us. And we're thankful that You've given us instructions in the precious, perfect, holy Word of God about how we should live, how our relationships should go, and especially how our marriages should be. And I pray, Lord, if there's room for improvement, there's something that needs to be changed, something that needs to be improved, I pray that our men and our ladies tonight in those relationships would make sure that they do what needs to be done to make it more biblical in what You want out of our lives and our marriages and all of our relationships. And I pray that for somebody here who doesn't know our precious Savior, that poor lost sinner that right now is under condemnation, that tonight they would walk the aisle and say, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. In His name we pray, amen.